How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a summer party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
Bye.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, and co-hosted by the love of my life, Miss Gooey Girl. Yeah. Woo! Happy Pride Month. Mango says, hi, gay. It's June 2nd when this episode's going live. June 1st as I'm filming it, which is later than I would like to be filming an episode. Usually I don't like to shoot the day before I'm supposed to post, but I've had the week from hell as far as technology goes. It like actually is sucked so bad. I've got a CBD beverage here to calm my mind and body because I need to chill the fuck out, sincerely. So these tech issues actually involve you guys. So I'll give you the whole rundown here, this whole story, because I do need your opinion. Okay. So basically, I recorded a podcast episode with Robbie and Sebastian from A Lot About Nothing on Tuesday. It was a great episode, 3 fucking hours long. These two are hilarious. Loved the episode. After we filmed it, I was like, this is a smash hit, babes. This is good stuff. And was super excited because I love Sebastian and Robbie. I think they're so funny, and was like just pumped to have them on the show. We talked about so many good things. And then the next morning on Wednesday, yesterday morning, I went to go edit the show, and I learned that 2 of the 3 microphones were not recording audio. So sick. Great. Love that. I have the camera audio. I have backup audio. But it's not podcast audio. Doesn't sound great. So I was sitting there staring at my computer being like, no fucking way did I record a 3-hour podcast with guests and it's just gone. It's just not here. And I was staring at my screen being like, oh, wow, I'm going to have a bad day today. Like the panic attack hadn't even come on yet. And I was just sitting here being like, this has to be a joke. You have to be kidding and joking me, right? Because I've been doing this podcast for 1 year. I've been making content for 13 years. And I've dealt with tech issues before, but not to the point of like losing an entire 3-hour podcast with guests. This is the part I want to emphasize. If I lost a 3-hour podcast where I was sat here by myself talking, that's one thing. And my friends were all so nice to me yesterday. Everyone was so nice to me. Like my dad called me. A bunch of my friends called me. Art came over. Jordan bought me flowers and a cake that she gave to me at trivia. Robbie and Sebastian were both super fucking nice and understanding about it. Obviously, they do a podcast as well, so they are familiar with tech issues. Literally everyone was so nice to me, but it's one of those things where everyone can be so nice to me and I'm still gonna sit here and beat myself the fuck up for it. So I felt like so grateful to have so many people that cared so deeply about me having a bad day, even though I understand it's like a little, I'm like being a little dramatic about it, but it's because I am like, just, I care so deeply about what I do and about like people that I respect and admire. I just want, you always hope that you can put your best foot forward. And then when you accidentally or unintentionally don't, something happens and you can't, it just sucks. And it feels so like embarrassing to me. Yeah. My dad called me in the middle of the day randomly. He had no idea what was going on, just to see how I was doing. And I was like, well, Dad, to be totally fucking real with you, I'm having the worst day ever. And I cried. And then later on in the night, he called me after he got off from work and was like, are you good? What's going on? And I was like, listen, I want to be perfect all the time. I don't want to ever make any little tiny mistakes. Other people can make mistakes. I am not allowed to make mistakes. You don't understand this. And he was like, you're just a bit of a perfectionist and a critic in a way that I think is unfair to yourself. You're always like, there are no room for mistakes, you to yourself, so long as other people can see them. You know, like if I make a mistake, it has to be something that only I know about. Nobody else can ever know that I make mistakes. No one is allowed to know that. Oh my God, how humiliating that people know I'm not perfect now. What the fuck? And yeah, I did feel very comforted by my dad calling me out and being like, listen, you're doing too much. And a lot of times I would hate if somebody called me out and was like, you're doing too much. But I think in this specific scenario where I'm feeling like this is so awful and humiliating that I made a mistake, it feels good to have people be like, you can relax. Like, it's actually not a big deal. Nobody is judging you the way that you're judging yourself. But I care so deeply about, especially about what I create and what I do. I think I hold a lot of pride in this area of my life, and like a lot of my self-worth is tied to this stuff. So I think I hate making a mistake. That's so dumb. I should never make mistakes. Me as a person should never have a bad day, you know? It's just like, I can't do it. So right now I'm at sort of a crossroads with this, where I can either scrap the episode altogether and I will bring Robbie and Sebastian back on later in the summer and we'll do a brand new episode, or I can put the episode out as it is, as a bonus episode. I wouldn't put it out as like a, here's your weekly episode. It would be an extra piece of content for the week. As is, with the disclaimer that the audio is not up to podcast standard. You will probably want to watch the YouTube version. You will probably be more forgiving of the fact that it's not great sounding if you can watch the video. I can put it out because it is great content as bonus, and I can still have Robbie and Sebastian on later on in the summer. I don't know. It's either like, do you want a bonus episode or not? I guess that's my question for you. Because I can put it out, but the audio sucks. So it is what it is. I feel sort of in the total middle about it because it is really beneath my standard. But it's also a super funny episode, and I think that you guys would find it entertaining regardless. But yeah, tell me what you think. I would love to hear some voices in the chat. If you want to tell me that I'm beautiful and gorgeous and you would love everything I put out, even if it was me screaming into a peaking microphone for 60 minutes, that would make me feel really good. So just let me know what you're thinking and feeling. And I'll be here sipping my CBD beverage, trying to get myself off the ledge. So that's been my week. You might notice I'm wearing an Emotionally Online sweater right now. This is the embroidered rotary sweater. The Emotionally Online part is embroidered and then the phone part is not. But this is a part of the upcoming merch drop, which I do believe is coming out next week. So keep your eyes and ears peeled. The sweat set, band tee, and this sweater all coming out at the same time. Next week. So you'll see. I'm very excited that you guys can finally purchase these pieces, and it can be more than just, you know, my closet that is housing these items. other random life updates besides me losing my mind for the last 24 hours. Headed home this weekend to watch my youngest brother graduate high school, which is fucking insane that he's about to be 18 and that he's graduating high school. He's 8 years younger than me. So when I made my YouTube channel, I was 13 and he was like, what, five? Which is insane. If you've been watching me for a while, you're probably like, that's a baby. How is he 18? And to that I say, right? What the fuck is going on? So I'm going home to watch my brother graduate, and I'm pretty sure it'll be my last time seeing my childhood home. My parents sold the house that I grew up in, which I think for a lot of people is like a very emotional thing where they're like, my parents sold the house, like, it's over, it's done. And I just feel nothing. I'm like, yeah, get rid of that old fucking house. I hate this town. So I think this is my last time going home to Massachusetts. And my parents are Mainers now. So goodbye, Massachusetts. Hello, Maine. I think maybe I also don't feel any type of way about it because I grew up spending summers in Maine. So Maine is also like a semi home to me. My parents always had a house in Maine, and I think I always knew that like when all of us graduated, they were going to leave and go live in Maine full time, because why the fuck wouldn't you? Like, if you could live on the water in like this quiet little beach town year round, why the fuck would you not? Seems like a sweet deal. So anyways, this is going to be my last time seeing my childhood home. Which really barely even feels like my childhood home, because I got kicked out of my bedroom the second I left high school because I had the best bedroom. So obviously when I left, all my siblings were like, I want it, I want it, I want it. So I feel like my vision of what my childhood was, my childhood space, hasn't existed for 8 years. So good riddance to you. I never have to run into my peers, the people that I graduated with, when I'm out getting coffee or, I don't know, getting my nails done. I can just live peacefully in a beach town and stare out silently at the water and pretend I'm in Big Little Lies or something. So that's what I'm going to do this weekend after I say goodbye to my childhood home. Bye, loser. L. Dumb. Stupid. And then I'm back here for a week, and then I go on my grand European extravaganza. Oh, and Love Island comes back on Monday. Are you kidding and joking? Ah, we're going to have so much fun. Love Island comes back on Monday. So next Friday, you'll get an episode, and then the week after, episodes switch to being on Wednesday during the Love Island season. Last half of the episode is going to be recapping Love Island of the week. So if you're in the US and you want to watch Love Island UK live this summer so you can keep up in time, because Hulu adds the episodes on a 2-week delay, so you will always be 2 weeks behind what I'm talking about on the show unless you get a VPN and watch on the website, on the ITV website, which is what I do. So now's your chance. Starts on Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. So Godspeed to us all. May we all have a wet, hot summer, babes. And then literally a few days after that, I go to Italy. I'm having my great European summer. Italy, then Greece. Next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks after that, I'll be recording the podcast while I'm on the go. So there's going to be a lot of guests happening. I've got Ashley and Mika will definitely be back, and I'll probably do one with my sister as well because she's coming to Greece with me. So crazy times, crazy stuff happening. And as the weather is getting nicer, I am just getting more and more of an urge to cover myself in more tattoos, which is great, but the summertime is arguably the worst time to get a tattoo, but it's the time you get the most urge to because you're showing off the most skin and you're like, damn, I could fill up this spot here. I think it would look cool if I had something here. You get so much more inspiration seeing other tattooed people out and about. And yeah, I think I'll probably get a few this summer, even though it is a dumb time to get tattoos. But I've got an urge to. I've had an idea for a while, or like a half idea. I'm in a different phase of my tattoo journey now. When I was younger, I used to have really specific ideas of what I wanted to get done. And as I've gotten older, they've become more and more vague. And I just want the artist. I want to pick an artist that I love and have them kind of take my half-baked idea and turn it into a full idea. So the tattoo that I've wanted to get for like the last year is I want to get a tattoo for Crying During Sex by Carol Aides, because that song single-handedly dragged my ass through last year. I love that fucking song. There's literally nothing more comforting to me than that song. All you lonely romantic bitches out there, listen to Crying During Sex by Carol Aides and you will feel okay. If you are a romantic who is lonely and living in a world surrounded by people that are not romantics, listen to this fucking song. So I want to get a tattoo for Crying During Sex by Carol Aides, and I want them to just sort of listen to the song, generate some sort of image to represent it, but I want them to include the line, "God, I'm so obsessed with forever," somehow into the image. Any way, shape, or form, do not really care how, up to you. But that's the line that I want emphasized, because that's the line that makes me go, ah. It's so fucking good. "God, I'm so obsessed with forever. I think I forgot to remember. Everything I'm feeling is much more than who I let inside my body." Oh my God, she killed it. That chorus is straight up one of my most favorite choruses ever, and all the lyrics. Oh, it's so good. Everyone listen to Carol Aides. "Crying During Sex" by Carol Aides. A bop and a banger, and I need to get a tattoo for the song because I just love it so much. So anyways, that's what we're thinking about. That's the life recap. We are having breakdowns because we're perfectionists. We are leaving our childhood homes forever, and we are getting tattoos for Crying During Sex by Carol Aides. This is the Maddie Drosvig experience. So today, what I really wanted to talk about was body image, because there has been a great influx of body image submissions in the box recently, which does make sense to me. I mean, it's spring and summer. Weather gets hotter. You're wearing less clothes. You become more critical of yourself, of your body. Comparison becomes more of a thing. So I deeply relate. And though it's not something that I feel I actively deal with in my life anymore, there were many years of my life where I did feel that way. And, yeah, I just deeply, deeply relate, and I've seen a lot of body image submissions come through. So I wanted to do like a big body image episode just talking about all things body image. And before I get into any of the specific submissions that I have here, I wanted to talk a little bit generally about a recurring sort of story that I see in the submission box that people are always asking, like how to deal with this, how to deal with people that are in your life that are like aggressively unself-aware when it comes to sharing their body image issues or speaking about their bodies in a negative way around people that have also dealt with body image struggles, which I think a lot of us will encounter at least one situation at some point in our lives where you are in a group setting or even a one-on-one setting, but usually a group setting, and somebody just starts ripping into their body and saying really confusing and fatphobic things about their body. And they may or may not actually be in a fat body themselves. I think a situation that I've seen recurrent in the box that I've definitely experienced in my own life as well is like, as a fat person, having a thin friend come to you and be like, "Oh, I look so fat and ugly today." And you just sort of have to stand there and be like, "Okay, so what did you want me to say to that?" Like, I might not be the right audience for you, because what the fuck, dude? And I think there's been a few situations like that in my life. I actually have like vivid memories of a situation where I was in college where it was that exact thing that happened. I was with a group of people that I didn't really know that well. And one of them was going on and on and on about how they look so fat in this outfit. And they want to make sure when I take photos of them that I make them look as skinny as possible. And I was standing behind the camera, you know, 8 to 10 sizes bigger than this person, being like, so do we not care? Or do we lack self-awareness to the point where, like, I don't know. This just seems insane to me to be like, yeah, I'm going to look at this fat bitch and tell her to make sure I don't look fat in this photo. It's just, like, fucking insane. And I think it's a topic that sort of connects to a lot of the dialogue that you see online in regards to, like, you know, people feeling justified in their fat phobia because they have body dysmorphia, which I've always thought is like one of the most insane internet back and forths, where someone can be like, I'm insecure about my body, so therefore I can say whatever the fuck I want, even if it's harmful to other people. Hello? I've never understood that. I don't know if people just don't want to change, or they find it too difficult to change the language that they use, so they feel super insistent on, like, I don't know, continuing to be fat phobic because they feel justified in that. They don't want to change. So I don't know. I don't even like engaging with that side of the internet because I find them to be a little disconnected from the rest of the world. It's like, it's something that I feel like I've never experienced someone in person that truly believed those things. That's the other thing, is like, all of my friends are not like shitty fat phobic people. So a lot of the experiences that I've had where someone has said something a little distasteful to me in that regard, they're never people that I'm super close with. It's always like acquaintances or friends of friends, or it was some weird situation where it was someone new that, you know, hit me with a, do I look fat in this dress? And I just sort of stood there like, okay, I don't know how you want me to respond to that. And I think I've gotten a lot of questions about this because people, number one, they really don't know how to respond. Whether you're a fat person hearing a comment like that, or a thin person that's not fat phobic being like, I know that people shouldn't talk like that, but I don't know how to like vocalize why they shouldn't talk like that. Because I think in moments like that, if like a size 6 is sitting there being like, I look so fat today, I'm just such a big fatty, you want to be like, well, no, you're not, because objectively you're not. But also you don't want to say, no, you're not, because you don't want to feed into the whole like using fat as a negative word thing and make people believe that, like, or affirm them in any way that being fat would be the worst thing. Like, objectively, you're not. You are not plus size. You are straight size. You are many sizes smaller than the average person in America. But also, if you were fat, it wouldn't be a bad thing. And we should reconsider using that word as a negative. I think, I don't know, some people live in like totally different social circles and lives. And I'm very grateful that my social circle has moved past that era. It feels shocking to me now when I hear people use the word fat as a negative. I feel like I only ever hear like fucking boomers use it as a negative. Maybe I'm just so lucky and I live in a bubble, but I feel like using fat as a negative word was like, we retired that in like 2015. And if in the year 2023, you're still saying shit like that, you kind of sound ignorant, in my opinion. And I think what sucks about these situations the most is that the burden of responsibility often falls on fat people to like correct people who think like this and talk like this and teach them. And I think that really sucks. It's frustrating because when you're on the other side of it and you're looking in at those people, it feels so obvious that the solution to them feeling more comfortable in their bodies is to work on their internalized fat phobia. Because if you're looking out for larger bodies, if you are respecting larger bodies, the most marginalized bodies among us, there's a trickle-down effect there that you will start to feel yourself. If we are actively working to make our community a safer place for the most marginalized bodies, if that's what we believe in, if that's how we live our lives, if that's how we choose to speak, there's a trickle-down effect there that will impact you. You feel like you have to look a certain way and fit into a certain box because of fat phobia. And it sucks because we all struggle with body insecurities, and that's not, nobody is safe from those, right? Like, everyone deals with body image issues, some fleeting, some more long-term. And there are ways we can communicate about those issues without being fat phobic. There are productive ways that we can communicate about our issues. And in fact, like more effective ways to communicate about those issues. I always say to people that it's like, it's so easy to talk about your body dysmorphia or body insecurities without being fat phobic. And this is why I like, I'm sort of like, oh yeah, with those people that are like so set on using whatever words they want to describe their body image issues, because there is a way better and more specific way to talk about body dysmorphia and your insecurities rather than being like, I feel so fat today. Fat isn't a feeling. Fat isn't a negative word. I really have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Be more specific. I don't like the way my clothes fit. I tried on a lot of outfits this morning and I just couldn't find anything that I liked. I ripped them all off my body and now I can't look at myself in the mirror. I do not feel comfortable in myself. I do not feel confident today. I just want to lay on the couch and cry and, you know, dissolve into the floorboards. I think that came across a lot more vividly than I feel so fat today. What the fuck does that mean? Be specific. You can talk about having a bad body image day, having, you know, a day where you feel uncomfortable in your body or dissatisfied with your body, all without making people around you feel like shit and perpetuating fat phobic ideals and language. It's really easy, actually. Like, it's very simple, and it's 2023, so kind of like get with the program here. And I feel very deeply for people in those situations, whether you are a thin person or a fat person, any type of body, when you're witnessing people speak like that, not knowing how to draw a line there and say, we're not going to speak like that. There's more specific ways we can speak about what we're going through without, you know, contributing to larger systemic issues regarding bodies. It's a very delicate topic and it's hard because ultimately people are struggling, and I have a lot of empathy for people who struggle with body image issues across the board. But at the end of the day, I ride for the fatties of the world, okay? And I want to stand up for the most marginalized bodies among us, because I think that's what creates the most amount of positive change for everyone. I don't think there's a lot of benefit in being like, yeah, size six should be able to say, I feel so fat today. I feel so fucking fat and ugly. There's just like no benefit to fighting for that. We all lose if we just continue to believe that that's an okay thing to think. All of us, everyone collectively loses. So let's imagine a world where we can be more specific about what it is we're going through and what it is that we're feeling, all without ever using that word as an insult or talking about fatness and our bodies changing as being the end of the world. I think I would honestly just, if I heard someone say that, I would ask them to be more specific. And I would say, like, what do you mean when you say that? Tell me more about how you feel. I would have a more in-depth conversation with them about how it is they're actually feeling, what these body image issues are stemming from, how they're coming out. And then at the end of the conversation, I would say, I have a lot of empathy for you. I've struggled a lot with my body image as well, as I'm sure you know. And I love throughout the duration of our conversation how you got more specific and you really trusted me and opened up to me. And I so appreciate that. And I'm going to challenge you to shift the way you talk about your body image from saying things like, God, I look so fat today, to being more specific and opening up in the way that you just did with me, because I think it creates such a better understanding while also leaving space for other people to have their own body image experiences that aren't then reignited or triggered because of the way we're speaking about ourselves. I think that language matters, the words we use matter, and I love you and want to be there for you, but I also need to protect my own mental health, and it really does hurt when I hear you use the word fat in a negative context, because either I am fat and this is my lived experience and I don't really know how to sit in that when you say things like that in front of me, or if you're not fat because you have fat friends and you care about people of all body sizes being able to express their insecurities without, you know, contributing to fat phobia. And ideally people are receptive to that and people aren't, you know, shitheads. They're just people that are a little unself-aware. But, you know, there's also people out there that are really committed to saying whatever the fuck they want to say, even when it's at the expense of other people. And it's totally, like, not specific or helpful at all. So, I mean, it depends on friendship to friendship. I personally could not be friends with someone who was, like, committed to speaking about their body and fatness like that. I think that I would always feel misunderstood by that person. I think that I would feel like our values were totally in misalignment as someone that cares deeply about fat bodies and fat bodies feeling loved and accepted in this world. And I try really hard to not be judgmental of people who aren't quite there yet and aren't quite with it in terms of the language that they're using. I try to be understanding, but also firm and direct, because I don't think it's okay. And I don't want to be around people that don't care about uplifting and loving fat bodies in the same way that I do. So that's where I'm at with that. All right. First submission we have here says, "Hello, Maddie. Please help a fellow fat woman. Unfortunately, I'm not yet there with self-love. I feel extremely insecure and ashamed about my body. I'm terrified of having sex because I'm afraid my thighs and my big butt and fat vulva will be in the way. I've only had penetrative sex with one person and only in missionary. He had a big dick, so the size of my body wasn't a problem. Right now, I'm seeing a guy who's on the smaller side and I feel insecure. I'm especially worried about doggy because thick thighs. I hope this question isn't disrespectful. I just want a fat, sexy lady to tell me it will all be fine." First of all, not disrespectful at all. I don't know if you feel that way just because you're using the word fat to describe me, which is a truthful adjective that I use myself to describe myself. So never feel bad about referring to me as fat. I don't see anything wrong with that. In fact, I love being identified correctly. So I love being a part of the plus size girly community. I'm totally cool with everyone calling me fat. Okay. Or if it's just because we're talking about sex, which we can talk about sex all day, baby. I've got no issues with this submission. So at the end here, you say, "I just want a fat, sexy leader to tell me that it will be fine." And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I think that oftentimes when we grow up in bigger bodies, we grow up with a worry that we are not as desirable as people around us are. Or that like people will only want this one specific body type. And I'm here to tell you, it's just not true. I've had sex with lots of different people and body types. Body type isn't something that plays into my attraction at all. I'm attracted to plus size people. I'm attracted to super, you know, thin and, petite people. Really, it has no impact on my attraction. And I think a lot of people are like this more than you would think, based on like what we consume in media, which I think like media and like media specifically in relation to body image poisons our brain and makes us think that like the average everyday person is sitting out here being like, "I need someone who looks like this and this and this and this hip measurement and this bust measurement and whatever." Like I just think there's more people that don't really give a fuck than you would think that they do. Second of all, I think that the idea that fat women would only be able to have enjoyable sex with big men, or at least men with a bigger penis, is like objectively untrue. I don't think there's like any correlation there, to be honest. That's definitely not my experience. I've said before how I like a small dick. So I'm not gonna lie, I have no idea what you're talking about. Bodies move and groove, okay? We're not like a block of stone that you can't get past, you know? So yeah, you've got big thighs and a rockin' ass, and the person that's having sex with you in any position, you specifically cited doggy here, they will find a way, Okay. Don't worry about it. Your body will move with you and it'll be super enjoyable and honestly very fucking sexy. Let's be so real and honest here. Being strangled by really thick thighs, having a beautiful, gorgeous, big woman in front of you that is just overflowing with sex appeal. We've got so goddamn much of it. There's a lot to love, okay? There's a lot to find sexy. There's a lot of pleasure there for everyone involved. I wouldn't worry about the size of your body being a hindrance to you during sex. I just don't think that that's going to be an issue. So, all right, next person here says, "Hello, Maddie, I love your work. It's so inspiring to watch a woman embrace her sexuality so fully and openly and then be willing to be vulnerable about herself on the internet. You make me so much less afraid to wait for a life partner without lowering my standards." Godspeed. Love that for you. "The thing is, I have the self-confidence that I know I'm sexy as fuck and whoever gets me is a lucky bitch. I know that I'm gorgeous and I'm proud to say that I've made it to a headspace that I genuinely wouldn't want any other body than my own after overcoming an eating disorder and depression era. A silly, goofy mood ago. I'm a stunner, end of. The catch. Because I know we live in a fatphobic and diet culture world that teaches us that my body type isn't what is defined as attractive slash sexy, for some reason I really struggle with thinking that other people would want me slash find me attractive. I find myself stuck in the position of assuming that everyone wants what diet culture slash fatphobia assigns as attractive, aka not me. I'm a very emotional and sensitive person who overthinks a lot, hence me assuming other people's fatphobia. But do you have any advice on getting out of your head about other people's hypothetical opinions of you, or how to bridge the gap in self-confidence between how one views themselves and carrying that confidence through to interactions with others? I have so much internal confidence and love for myself, but in social situations and interacting with other people, I fold like a deck of cards and I'm wildly different and a much quieter version of myself." I'm going to reference a video from someone that I love on the internet, Kendra Austin at Kendra Amorous on Instagram and TikTok. I love Kendra. I think they're so smart and love their perspective in general on body image and dating and sex and our relationships with ourselves. I just feel very in alignment with a lot of the content she produces. But she has made a TikTok a little while ago that I really love and that my friends will, whenever it comes on their page, they send it to me, which is so funny because I'm always like, ah, I know her and I love her content. But my friends see this video and they're always like, this is you. This is you, bitch. But it was a video of her talking about how the most authentic people are contradictory. And I think this applies here, and it's something that I thought about a lot throughout my life, because I would always feel like I was a walking contradiction because I thought so highly of myself when I was by myself or when I existed in like a black hole. But then the second you put me in situations with other people, there were so many, you know, more specific situations where I would watch my self-esteem sort of crumble in front of my eyes. And I was like, oh my God, like, why do I feel so contradictory all the time? Why do I think so highly of myself yet at the same time struggle to believe that anyone's going to love me for who I am? Like, what is going on? Why am I always like in this tug of war with myself and my body image? And I felt this way about a lot of parts of myself throughout my life. But I think that through therapy and conversations with friends and just getting older, I think I've sort of accepted that there is never going to be a world where my body image issues go away completely and forever, never to return or pop back up ever. I think the older that I've gotten, the more it's become something that appears less and less and less. I don't really feel like I actively struggle with body image issues on a day-to-day level anymore, but, you know, every, you know, maybe once a month, every few months, I might have a moment or a situation that triggers me and my body image issues sort of rear its ugly head. And that doesn't discount the fact that I am self-confident and I do love myself. That doesn't take away from, you know, the work that I have done on my self-esteem and body image issues. It just means that you're human, you know, and you have a very human reaction. And sometimes you're going to see yourself one way, but other times you're just going to be triggered. Something's going to happen. It's going to bring you to a different mental place. And that's fine. And that happens sometimes. And I think it's less about getting rid of those feelings altogether and more about learning how to accept those feelings when they pop up and be like gentle and caring towards yourself in processing those feelings. And honestly, this is, I mean, what you're talking about is something that I've really struggled with throughout my life, because I've talked on this podcast and my videos a bunch about how, like, my relationship with my body and my experiences dating, and specifically dating men, were always really connected because I was bullied by men as a kid. It was always boys that bullied me. I was never bullied by women. So I think I've had a really hard time trusting men or believing that they were gonna like truly love me and see me, or they meant it when they said that they truly loved me and saw me, because my body remembers being bullied by boys my entire life, and it was always about my body. And like, those are the situations where my body image issues were born from. So naturally there is still a connection there in my adulthood that sometimes makes it hard for me to believe that men will be kind to me and treat me properly and see me the way I see myself. And and like I said, I think it's sort of just gone less and less the older that I've gotten and the more secure I've become with myself, where now I feel pretty accepting of like, yeah, there are going to be people out there that are going to be nasty and horrible to me because of my body. But there's also a lot of people that are going to love me and love my body and see me the exact way I see myself. It would be so absurd if I was the only person who saw people this way and felt attraction to big bodies this way. Like, as someone who feels attraction that is totally disconnected from people's body size, it's just not something that contributes to my attraction to people whatsoever. I think it would be absurd to believe that I was the only person that felt this way, and that there's just no possible person out there that could feel the same way that I do. Connects back to like, the love I deserve exists because I exist. The love I'm looking for exists because I exist. Like, use yourself as proof that what you're looking for and what you're hoping for is real, because if you're real, it's got to be real, right? We'd be insane to believe that we're one of one. Completely. We're not unique. And that's a beautiful thing in this scenario. And I think something that's helped me a lot recently in making these assumptions about other people, letting my insecurities make assumptions about other people, is turning it around on myself. And if I have a crush on someone and I'm just sitting here hoping they like me, maybe there's a voice in my head that's like, oh, they would never like you because you look like this and they'd prefer someone that looks like this. There's just this voice that tells you that what you are isn't enough. And if only you looked like this, then they would like you. When that voice comes up more recently, I've had to be like, okay, how mean is it for me to be looking at this person and assuming such negative things about them? Why am I looking at this person I have a crush on and assuming that they're gonna be an asshole to me, or that they're gonna be unkind and make me feel like shit about myself? Why would I not give them the benefit of the doubt? How nasty is it of me to project that onto other people and to paint this person as an asshole inside my brain when they've never done anything? And maybe, just maybe, I'm right about them and they're a sweetheart. And I think when I turn it in that way and I start to be like, don't be rude. Like, don't be rude and assume that this person is mean and an asshole. That's so mean of me to assume that this person is an asshole and that they were going to be, you know, real snippy with me and unkind because of my body. Like, it makes it so much easier when I sort of tear the thought process apart of like, well, why are we doing this? Why are we making this assumption? Like, attraction works the same across the board, right? No matter who you are, what body type you live in, some people are going to be attracted to you and some people are not. Whether or not someone is an asshole to you about their lack of attraction to you says nothing about you and everything about them. If you're not attracted to someone, like if you or I aren't attracted to someone, we're not assholes about it, right? Because we can be normal human people and be like, oh, I'm not feeling it, without it being like, I'm not feeling it because you're a fat, ugly bitch. Like, you're insane. You know what I mean? There are ways that we can express our lack of attraction to people without being assholes. And I think that it kind of sucks for us to assume that other people are going to be assholes or are going to be unkind. And I think for me, I just feel better assuming that people are good and not projecting negative things onto people or assuming that someone's an asshole, because I'm like, damn, I like them. That's my crush. What the fuck are you doing? Assuming that they're an asshole. Don't call them an asshole. They're not an asshole. That's my crush you're talking about. And it's like, I start fighting with the voice in my head that's like, yeah, he's gonna say this and that, blah, blah, he's an asshole. Blah, blah. And I'm like, how dare you talk about my crush like that? You shut up right now. He's a sweetie. He's a sweetie and a cutie, and he would never do that to me. And yeah, there's something about that that has helped with me. But ultimately, I think it's just something that takes time to heal from. I think therapy has helped me a lot in unpacking the ways in which my body image connects to dating and sex and how I feel in that department. I think it's mostly something that I think the changes with me have happened like very slowly and incrementally over time, but are ultimately not, there's no like one big magical thing I can tell you, you know? I think you just sort of take baby steps, and that doesn't mean that you reach a moment in time where you never have another body image issue ever again. It just means that when you do have a body image issue, you are gentle with yourself in the handling and processing process. All right, and that's the end of today's episode. I think I'm going to wrap up, make myself some food, pack for my trip tomorrow, and then try to edit this episode as quickly as possible. While drinking my CBD beverages and trying to erase yesterday's humiliation from my brain. So let me know your thoughts on that in the comments, by the way. Do you want the bonus episode with the camera audio? It'll sound like a YouTube video that is shot without mics, which sometimes I do on my main channel. So it's not the worst thing, but it's definitely not podcast quality. But let me know what you guys are thinking and feeling and how you would want me to approach that. C'est la vie. I'll definitely have the boys back on at some point because you guys are going to love them as much as I do. So we've got to integrate Sebastian and Robbie into the Emotionally Online universe properly at some point, no matter what, whether this bonus episode ends up going live or not. So with that, thank you guys so much for listening. Love you so much. I'll see you next week.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.